great to be in the house of the Lord as we continue to look to God's Word to guide us in our lives and in where you're at today, and how great it is to be reminded in that last song, how great it is to hear each other sing of our love for God and our need for God's love each and every day. As we look to God's Word this morning, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And the words will be on the screen behind me as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 is our passage for today. And as we prepare to hear this word of the Lord, let us never forget those words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, where he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Let us look to God's word, our scripture reading again, 1 Thessalonians reading chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord. "Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, just as we begin a series in this little book in the back of the New Testament, I wanted to begin this morning by asking you, who is someone in your life that stands out as a model citizen? When it comes to a model citizen, who comes to your mind? And whoever comes to your mind, and when you think about who a model citizen is, why would you think that about them? Is it because they are kind and helpful? Is it because they obey the law? They clean up after themselves? They are making the world a better place to live? Perhaps it's because you see in them just a generous spirit. They give to help those in need. They are supportive. But you know, not only sometimes do we hear about model citizens, but also model students. For those educators here, sometimes at the end of the school year, there are awards given to certain students because they really stood out. And why was it that they stood out and became a model student? Was it because they worked hard? They put more effort as the school year went on, and they improved in their grades, they improved in their character, they followed the rules, they volunteered, they helped out when they weren't asked to. A model student. And even companies are recognized and become examples to other companies for various reasons. Their customer service, their exemplary staff. You know, people want to know what it is that makes someone or a company achieve this recognition of a model student, a model company, a model citizen. So why is it that we should be interested in what happened at Thessalonica? Why is this letter that Paul writes important, and why are we in this letter this morning? Well, because this church was a marvelous example of an authentic work of God that only was because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in them. The church in Thessalonica is the only church in the New Testament that Paul describes as a model for other believers. And that's important. We need to understand that word that Paul uses in the passage that I read, it's important to stop and think about. Because, like I said earlier, people want to know, why is this church considered a model for all other believers? And as we go through this letter together, I hope you will be challenged by God's word in your own life. Because when it comes to your own walk with the Lord, would you consider your life, your walk with the Lord, to be a model for those around you? It's important to think that way. How am I doing when it comes to following Christ? And can people see that in my own life? The letter to the Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul. We learn that at the beginning of this letter. And of the 27 books in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote 14 of them. So he writes a considerable amount of the New Testament. He was a preacher, he was a teacher, he was a church planter, and most of all, Paul was a discipleship maker. So Paul himself is a model believer that we can learn so much from, and God has used him greatly in church history, let alone through him to write many of these letters. Paul is known for his encouragement, his boldness, his strong convictions and perseverance. He truly was a true devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Yet his life was never easy. We need to never forget that about the Apostle Paul. And I'm guessing that most of us in this building today have never been shipwrecked or been whipped, bitten by a poisonous snake and lived to tell the tale. How about stoned and left for dead? Or had a group of assassins after our blood? Or been lowered over a city wall in a basket at night to escape our pursuers? That all happened to Paul. Can anybody come close to any of that? I certainly can't. But of all those things that happened to Paul, he was frequently under unbearable pressure. Pressure. We all know what pressure is and what that's like. And that's not easy. But this is not to say that we don't live with the kind of stress and pressure that Paul had. You know, his life was much different than ours. He lived in a much different world than we do today. But for each one of us, stress and pressure that we deal with in our own lives, in our own homes, it has a way of bending us out of shape, making us act in uncharacteristic ways. And they make, the pressures that we have to deal with in this day and age, they make us more vulnerable than usual to temptation. So I don't even need to see a show of hands to know that each one of us, it's hard. The pressures that we deal with in society today that we live with, it's hard. And I don't know how pressure and stress affect you, but for some of us, it causes us to snap at people. We lose our patience when we need it most. We become depressed. Our relationships can become frayed. Has pressure ever led that in your life? It led to that relationship breakdown? Our priorities can change. We see that all around us. Even this past year, the pressure that we are under can lead to priorities changing. We form unhealthy habits, and we can even stop caring about people around us. So when we're under pressure, when we're under stress, it's important to realize that if we're not careful, it can also have an adverse effect on our relationships with others. Most importantly, we should use those situations to learn to, if anything, just keep relying on God. Keep turning to the Lord. Keep asking, Holy Spirit, fill me up, because without you, I can't do this. Ultimately, stress and the pressures of life can cause us to take our eyes off God and focus only on our problems. And that often is what happens. Now, have you ever heard of the Mariana snail fish? Look at this guy. Not very pretty, is he? But has anybody ever heard of the Mariana snail fish? Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about this creature. This little fish lives at the deepest part of the ocean. And some of the deepest parts of the ocean are 8 kilometers in distance. So that's like driving from here to Petherick's Corners, right? And that's a bit of a slow drive, and it's a long drive, but that's how deep, the deepest part of the ocean where this little guy lives. And again, that's far. That's a long way down in the ocean. And at that depth, the pressure the pressure at that depth of the ocean is incredible. It's 1,000 times greater than on the surface. And the pressure is so strong that the metal on a submarine hull has to be at least 14 centimeters thick. That's not like this. That's like coming out here more, right? So that's a lot of metal pushed together to withstand the pressure at that depth. And if it weren't, it would be crushed. A submarine with all that metal could be crushed at the depth of that ocean, the water that deep. So not just the pressure, how incredible it is, but the temperature as well. The temperature at this depth is near freezing, and there is no light. But God created this little guy, this type of fish, which are about the size of a human hand, to thrive in these extreme conditions. So how do they do it? How is it possible that there is a life form, you know, that far down into the ocean depth where it's that cold, it's that dark? Well, according to National Geographic, these fish possess special features such as flexible skulls and bones. And they also produce distinct chemicals that stabilize their constitution so that the pressure inside them, it adjusts so that it's always greater than the pressure outside of them. Quite a marvelous creature. Pretty amazing, eh? God has given these strange creatures everything that they need for where they are and for what he intends for them. He has given them everything they need, not just to survive and at the ocean that deep, but also to thrive. And that is true for every believer in Jesus Christ as well. If you are a born-again follower of Christ here today, God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness, not just to survive the pressure and the stress of this life, but also to thrive. And we learn this, and we have this promise in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We learn God's divine power has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So the Thessalonian church, you know, it was born out of severe suffering and persecution. They lived in an environment constantly at them, trying to take away their faith and cause them to fall. Yet they trusted in God's power to help them rise above the pressure around them. And because of that, Paul calls them a model church. So what was it about them? How was it that Paul could say, here's a model church for all you believers around them? And that because of your faithfulness, you have become an example to them. So we're going to learn a little bit about that in just a moment. But let me just provide a little more background on this church. Now, in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9, we learn how the church became part of this community, how it was planted and how it was founded. Now, just a little bit about this city. The city of Thessalonica was a seaport town in ancient Greece. And as such, being a seaport, it was a crossroads for east and west travel. But the harbor attracted ships from every part of the Mediterranean Sea. So you just kind of picture with me the city along the harbor, along the seashore, a growing, booming city because so much traffic, so many boats coming in and out, bringing goods, bringing soldiers, bringing people, traveling, trying to find a new way to live. It was part of the famous Ignatian Way, which is like a highway system that connected Rome with Asia to the east and passed through Thessalonica. Thus, it was a strategic center. Okay, so it's important to know that about this city where this church was birthed. Now, whatever happened in Thessalonica was soon spread everywhere. And there are multiple different types of people that lived there. Greeks, Romans, Orientals. And most of the people there were idol-worshipping pagans. Okay, so it's important to note that as well. It's a very secular city, very hedonistic, very worldly. Kind of like the Wild West, if you can have that image and description in your mind as well. So a very challenging place for a new believer in Jesus Christ to grow in their faith. surrounded by all this temptation, surrounded by all this pressure to conform to the culture around them, a culture that certainly was not founded on God's word and the teachings of Jesus. So Paul's brief ministry in this small town, in this big city, resulted in a small congregation. But God used him in a mighty way. Let me just read to you the first couple of verses from Acts 17, where we learn and where it's recorded the birth of this church in Thessalonica. Acts 17, verses 1 to 4. So when they, that's Paul and Silas, had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There's the city we're talking about, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he, Paul, said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a few prominent women. I'll stop right there. And so what do we learn about what Paul did when he came to this new city? And Paul, through the book of Acts, went to a number of places, new cities, to advance the kingdom of God, to spread the gospel. Well, we learned that upon arriving in Thessalonica, he taught the scriptures. He preached the gospel. And as a result, God used Paul and Silas to plant a new church. But I want to pause here just for us to learn a very important lesson from the Bible when it comes to church growth. Because I'm sure everybody in here, that's important to you, to see the church growing and advancing in Campbellford and across the land of Trent Hills and into our province. And so here we learn that what was so important from Paul, that, you know, he knew what he was called to do. God had given him a specific mission. Go and proclaim the gospel to the world, to the ends of the earth. And he did. He was committed to what God had called him to do. And here he not only taught and reasoned from the scriptures, but he pointed people to Christ by preaching the gospel. And as a result, a church is built. A church was built in Thessalonica by the preaching of God's word. Amen. God brings us to life through the living word of God. He also sustains us by the living word of God. And he matures his people by his word as the Spirit works through this divine process. And this is what Paul did, and a church was planted in Thessalonica. So in order to understand the letter, 1 Thessalonians, you need to know one important fact about Paul. He had to leave this new church plant very quickly because of persecution. He didn't want to leave, but he had to leave. And he left because of those that were opposing him, coming against not only him and Silas, but also the new believers there. So it's important to know that the church was born in the midst of persecution and severe suffering. Added into that mix, the pressure to conform to a worldly culture all around them. And so his early leaving caused, I'm sure, many of the younger believers in this new church plant, in this new town, to wonder about him and his ministry. And some were tempted to give up their faith under the continuing pressure. The church was surrounded by many temptations and distractions, and no doubt many were tempted to give up their faith under the continuing pressure of the culture around them. Everywhere they turned, there was a temptation to live a life of sin and worldliness. It is not easy being faithful to God when all around us screams unfaithfulness. Just as we try to come to grips with what this early church was going through, their leader, their spiritual leader, wasn't there very long, and now they're on their own. How are they going to survive and thrive? But isn't it interesting that it's no different than today? It is not easy being faithful to God when all around us screams unfaithfulness. It's becoming harder than ever to be faithful to our Lord in a faithless world. But as you read this letter, as we begin this letter together, and I encourage you to read through it, even before we hit a chapter together through our sermon series. But as you read this letter, you will discover that because of the grace and power of God, this church was unshakable in their faith. Look with me at verse 5, for it is here we discover why they became a model church. Verse 5 says in our passage today, Paul says, I'll begin at verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. There we have it. In this verse, verse 5 gives us the answer as to why Paul said that they were a model church. The power of the gospel. It transformed their lives. And not only that, we see that it transformed their lives because they not only were able to rise above the stress and the pressure of the world around them, but they became a beacon to believers around them when it comes to faithfully following the Lord. As a church, they were steadfast. As a church, they were servants, strong in their Christian witness, unwavering in their faith. Again, why? Because they were full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled and empowered them to live for Jesus, like Jesus. So in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul, he praises the church here for many things, and he holds them up for us even today as a model for us to follow, so what we can learn from the Thessalonians can be also applied to us, and may God use us as a model as well. But what characteristics did Paul praise them for? And what characteristics as Campbellford Baptist Church can we strive to be known for as a model church to believers all across Trent Hills? Great challenging questions for us as we read God's word and learn from God's word. More about God, most importantly, but how to be a witness, a better witness for Christ in this day and age. So we're going to work our way through the first chapter and see what lessons God would want us to learn. Now, Paul begins this letter, as we go back to chapter 1, verse 1, by saying, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. So here we learn that it wasn't just Paul, but Silas and Timothy as well, followers of Christ that were well known to the Thessalonians. So as they're reading this letter amongst a gathering, maybe somewhat like this, and this letter was then passed to another gathering throughout the city where believers met, they're like, oh, we got a letter from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Let's hear what they have to say. And so they read this letter. They're familiar with these three guys because they had all been part of the starting of this church in Thessalonica, as I read back Acts 17. Paul had sent Timothy back actually to check on the church after all that they had, after they had abruptly had to leave because of persecution. And then Timothy gives this report to Paul. And as a result of this report, Paul writes this letter. And he says, of course, this is who we are writing to you. But he also says, grace and peace to you. We can't overlook those important words. What a blessing from Paul. What encouraging words of greeting from one believer to another. It is true that as believers, we need God's grace. And we need God's peace each and every day. It also reminds us that God gives us grace and peace, things that we need to extend to the unsaved around us each and every day. For they are needing of grace. They need his grace. They need his peace. You know, the Christian life is never spoken of in the Bible as being easy, comfortable, and predictable. And never will be, nor should we expect it to be. When you think of just how much we need God's grace and how much we need his peace. The Christian life is uphill. Because our society is coming one way and the Christian is going the opposite way. So our greatest need each day is of the Holy Spirit and on depending on him to see us through the ministry of God's grace and his peace. But Jesus said that in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your difficulties, Jesus will be there to give you grace and peace. Underneath all the troubles, the pressure and stress will be the still waters that the great shepherd, the still waters that only our great shepherd can provide that we need spiritually. You know, a Christian doctor carried out an interesting survey recently involving his patients. And as they waited in the waiting room, they were asked to fill out a little survey. on themselves. And one of the questions on this survey in this waiting room was, what is your number one wish? What is your number one wish? And on analyzing the answers, the doctor found that the number one wish of 85% of his patients was to have peace of mind. Peace of mind. We are surrounded by people who are looking for inner peace. There's something missing, and for them, it's peace. With all everything going on in the world, what we hear in the news, what we hear from each other, there's such a need for peace. And we know through Scripture and from walking with the Lord that real peace that God created us to have can only be found in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Real peace comes from God and our relationship with Him. And once you surrender your life to Him, once you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus to be your Savior, you will have it. You will find it. And then God will want you to use this peace that you have been given from Him to bless others with. Grace and peace to you. I think that should be a new greeting that we have when we see each other. Good idea? Grace and peace to you. Now in verse 2, it reads, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. And I love how we began this morning by praying for those that we are aware of in our church family and community that need a special touch from God in their life today. Let us never forget, not just to be thankful for one another, but also to pray for those ones that God has put in our life. Verses 3 to 7 goes really into Paul telling us why he gives thanks for this church. And in verse 3, Paul tells them why he is thankful for them. He says he constantly remembers them in his prayers because of three things: their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to begin by noticing that, you know, often we think of faith, hope, and love as invisible qualities of the heart. However, here in this letter to Paul, faith results in work. Love is shown in labor, and hope is seen in endurance. Carrying on for the gospel of Christ. There ought to be evidence of faith. There ought to be evidence of hope and love in our lives that can be not just visibly seen by those around us, but also verbally heard. What two important words when it comes to being a witness for Christ? Visible and verbal. There ought to be visible and verbal evidence in your life to those around you that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's how you become a model and an example to those around you what it means to be a Christian. Every Christian is called to be a witness of Jesus, meaning as we come into contact with people, they should notice Jesus living through us in the way that we live. And that is why Jesus calls his followers in Matthew 5, salt and light, and a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now in verse 7, again, we learn that the church in Thessalonica had become such a great faithful witness of Christ that Paul tells them that they had become, again, there's that word, a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul was indeed thankful, so thankful for them and for the evidence of God's work in their lives. And again, he's encouraging them. He is blessing them. He is praising them. Again, not because of who they were, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. After Paul had heard this report from Timothy that, yes, he had to leave abruptly, and there was persecution and suffering in Thessalonica, but guess what? God had a plan for this church, just as God has a plan for your life and for our church, to rise up above all the pressure and stress, the hardships and trials that we go through, to be a witness of Christ. But these three qualities, again, they stand out, and we need to not overlook them. Paul is continually thankful in prayer for these believers for these three things. Again, their faith, their love, and their hope. You know, at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul wrote this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, these three qualities, says the Apostle Paul, will never end. But specifically, as we see here, it is not merely faith, hope, and love. It is faith, Paul goes on to say, which works. A love which labors, and a hope which endures. Paul put it that way so that we may see that these These are great Christian motives, motives of the Christian life, why we live the way we do. For if you have true faith, if you have love born of the Spirit, and if you have hope in the coming of Christ and heaven, and you will be motivated to live as you ought to today. Now let's look more closely at these three virtues and why Paul called them a model church. First, they were a great example of faithful service because of their faith, produced by faith. Now the Bible clearly teaches us that we are not saved by works. Ephesians 2 reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith. But even though we are not saved by works, we must realize that we are saved to do good works. Works in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And James in his letter tells us that, faith without works is dead. And so the Thessalonians had a faith that produced good works. And for them, faith wasn't just a matter of talk, but was a matter of positive action. They were leaving the world a better place because this world wasn't their home, as it is not ours as well. We are left on earth to witness and serve one another in the name of Jesus. And there should be evidence in a Christian's faith that, again, I'm a follower of Christ and I'm not ashamed of it. We see faith at work where? Well, when we serve one another, when we stand up against sinfulness, when we love our enemies, when we care for orphans and widows. Just read Hebrews chapter 11 if you want more examples of work produced by faith. How do we see this work of faith evident in the Thessalonian believers themselves? What is this work of faith that Paul speaks of? Well, he sums it up in verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me. He says later on in this letter, "For they themselves gave a report of what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Do you see it? Do you see the evidence of their faith? It tells us right there in verse 9. There he speaks of how the Thessalonians had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This is faith at work. Faith makes you turn from what? Faith in God. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes you turn from what is wrong to what is right, from dark and hurtful things to right and true and healthy things. And especially faith will turn you from the worship of idols to the one true living God. So let's ask ourselves, what is our Christian faith causing us to do? Is it causing us to work for the Lord? It better, right? Second, the Thessalonian church was a great example of faithful service, not just because of their faith seen in their works, but their labor prompted by love. And evidence of a model Christian is their labor prompted by love, motivated by love that comes from God. These Thessalonians, again, they did not have it easy, but in the midst of their persecution and suffering, they learned to rejoice in their afflictions. It was part of their labor of love. Look at verse 6, where Paul says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." The love that the Thessalonian church had for Christ motivated them to serve even when they were weary, even when they were weak, even when they're surrounded by the pressure to conform to a culture around them that glorified man instead of God. They labored even when it was hard and painful. And how can we also develop that kind of love for Christ and for people in the midst of suffering? I believe we must, again, allow God to pour his love into our hearts, and that's where it begins. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 9 says, "Beloved, let's love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we may live through him." We must all come to grips with how great God's love is for us. Each and every day, not just on Sunday morning. For you and for me. For when God's love gets a hold of us, it will do something through us, something in us, for the world to see. And that's what Paul meant when he wrote, "For Christ's love compels us." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. So let's ask ourselves, what is our love causing us to do? Is it causing us to labor for the Lord and his people? It should be and needs to be prompting us in that way. And lastly, this church was known as a great example of faithful service because of their endurance inspired by hope. Faith, love, and hope. You know, Paul will speak a lot about hope in this letter, and we'll learn more about that next week. Hope is a powerful factor in our lives as believers. It's amazing that we can endure if we know that tomorrow will be better and that the future is brighter. Hope gives us our hope in the Lord, gives us the will to carry on when we would otherwise give up. The greatest hope we have in our lives is the hope of eternal life, of one day being with Jesus. And it is the hope that Jesus will return someday and reward us as well for our faithfulness. That kind of hope can give us great endurance. And there are a lot of things that you have to endure that you cannot change. But because Jesus, our faith in Christ, is our living hope, we can. You know, the members of the church in Thessalonica had a firm grip also on that hope, and it produced in them great endurance. So let's ask ourselves as well, do we have a firm grip on that hope? And is it causing us to endure, to hang in there and not give up and give in to the pressure around us? That's what the hope of eternal life is supposed to do for us. For eternity in heaven is the great hope which we have, which encourages us to be faithful, unwavering, unshakable in our faith and committed to Christ in this life. So the Christians at Thessalonica were faithful in the face of great opposition because these three things were at work in their hearts. What were they? Faith, love, and hope. And so as we close, I want you to think about two questions that arise just from these opening verses in this letter. First, how often do I thank God for other believers? Just even as you leave today, look around. How often do I thank God for the people over here, the people back there, the people up here? And second of all, am I a model for other believers to see and imitate? And that's a question even young youth and children who know the Lord can ask themselves. How can I be a model for other believers to see and imitate? A model that points people to Jesus. A lifestyle that lifts the name of Jesus higher and higher. Two good questions. And remember, this church was born in severe suffering. These believers became a model because they welcomed the message in spite of severe suffering, Paul says. They modeled a faith that did not buckle under pressure. And this is the kind of faith that we need today, a kind that perseveres no matter what. Let's follow their example, shall we? Become a model church to our community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love for us. And Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in desperate need of you. God, there are those here this morning that need wisdom and discernment, for there are choices looming before them and they're not sure what to do. But God, we thank you that you say, ask and you shall receive. So Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would pour out heavenly wisdom upon those here today that need direction and guidance, and that you would provide it for them. And we thank you in advance, God, that you supply for our every need. We thank you, God, again, for just your ongoing provision and protection in our lives. And yes, Lord, there is a lot of pressure around us. It's hard following you, Jesus, in our day and age, in this day and age. But Lord, we know and we are thankful for the promise that we are reminded of today, God, that your power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. God, as we leave this place, Lord, may we again, Lord, continue to just look to you for strength. Holy Spirit, fill us up as we leave this place so that we will be a witness to those around us. And also, Lord, for those that you put in our path, God, help us to encourage them, to point them to you, Lord Jesus, and to know, God, that you have come. You have come to give life, to give peace and hope to those that are lost. We thank you again, Lord, for your love, for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.